How do you know I've been quiet?
Well, I just, you know, snooping around on the blog and watching my TV, and I don't know. I just get a sense that you're working on some stuff.
Well, I'm working on who's going to be part of the new Snyder administration. We broke the story last week that Posthumus and Dillon were in. We broke the story yesterday that Dennis Muchmore is the new chief of staff. And I have work to do. We got a bunch of 12, I don't know, how many departments do we have left in state government? There's going to be a bunch of those appointments coming on as well.
Tim, I heard someone say that the retirement home is going to be emptied out from a former administration because all these people are coming back. Is it going to be a good old boys network?
Well, it certainly is a network of people with hands-on and extensive government experience, and so I guess it's how you spin it. Look, this is an admission by Mr. Snyder, if not tacitly, outwardly, that he doesn't have that kind of experience to be governor, and he will need people around him who do, and he is surrounding himself so far with them. Now, I talked to Mr. Muchmore yesterday about this. He said, you're going to see some appointments of new people coming in, but right now it's beginning to look like the Engler Repertory Theater.
When talking about the folks...
I guess that wasn't funny. Okay?
Nah, you know, I laugh when it's funny and I don't when it's not.
Well, I like that about you. That's one of the things that I like about you.
Who wrote that bit anyway?
I don't know. We'll shoot him.
Hey, you know, in looking at this, just as you mentioned, if you're devil's advocate, you could say it's good old boys. If you're a smart person, you'd say, hey, he's admitting his faults and he's bringing in experience. Any other big players going to come on board, you think?
Well, first of all, he would not concede that this is a fault. Remember, he ran on the premise that he was an outsider, that he was going to come in and change the culture in Lansing. And everybody that he has picked so far is drinking that Kool-Aid and saying, yes, this is exactly what we need to do. In fact, I asked Mr. Muchmore, I said, look, he was sitting pretty good. I mean, why do this? And he said, this is a chance. I have felt that I've been unhappy with the way state government has been for years. Here's my chance to do hands-on, and I've got a chance to change it, and I'm going to take it, and I'm going to work with Mr. Snyder to do it.
All right. Well, you know, I was kind of curious. I jotted some notes down. What's Governor Granholm going to be doing when she's done?
Don't have any idea.
How about Lieutenant Governor Cherry?
I have no idea. I know he's going to be doing our show on December the 10th, and I do know that we're going to do an hour-long exit interview with the governor and Mr. Mulhern that we're taping on December the 17th, I believe it is, at the executive residence. That will be her last exit interview of her tenure, and perhaps by that time she'll have a better feel as to what she's doing. If she does right now, she's not telling anybody.
I'm not a hunter, so I'll qualify that right now, but do the legislators really need to take a week off to go hunting?
You know, there are three things that are for sure in life. Death, taxes, and lawmakers go hunting come heck or high water.
Come on, Tim. Are they really hunting, the majority of them?
No, the majority don't. The majority don't. Last year, the Mears people did a number, and I think, and don't hold me to this, I think it was about 29 out of 148. That number is down significantly from what it was years ago. 30 or 40 years ago, you could actually hold a legislative session up north. There were so many people up. Ah, okay, one for two. That's not bad. All the guys went. Harry Gass, you know, the old-timers.
Yeah.
But not so much anymore. But it's just what lawmakers do. And
we can't afford to take a week off.
Not a week. It's 2 weeks. They come back November 30th. And then they have two more days after that, December 1 and 2, and then this lame duck session is over.
Is anything going to get done at all in 2010?
Yeah, well, I think they're going to finish up. They've got a shot at this driver's thing for teenage drivers, banning cell phone usage, a number of kids in the car, that sort of thing. But, there'll be some cats and dogs bills that have been teed up, and they will do some stuff. But it's what it is. It's a tradition, and they have no gumption about going hunting, even if it's not all of them, and this is what they do.
We're talking with Tim Skubick on the Tony Conley Morning Show on 1320 WILS. You can go to the Oakland Press and read Scoop's blog and his Sunday posting. It got me to thinking, what happened with Virge Bonaro? Where did he go wrong? You know, I didn't think he was necessarily a bad guy or a bad candidate, but it appeared that Rick Snyder got his point across in a more positive fashion than Verge, and I guess that really pushed him over the top throughout the process.
Verge was behind the eight ball from the beginning and never got out in front, and he did make some mistakes that could have made the race closer.
Like what?
Well, he didn't introduce himself to the people until it was too late. People want to know who you are and what you're going to do. They don't necessarily want to hear why they should not vote for the other guy. It's a more positive approach, and look at Mr. Snyder. That's exactly what he did. He never took on anybody else. The National Republican Governors Association did, but Snyder stayed above the fray, talked about the fact that he had a plan and what he was going to do. It was all about him. It wasn't about Bonero, and it worked.
Of all the new people who were elected, and let's take Rick Snyder out of the mix, who's going to have the biggest impact for the state of Michigan?
That's a good question. Probably the new Supreme Court justices, the two new Republicans, which shift the balance there to 4-3 on the R side, even though it is, quote, a nonpartisan court. Next, I would put Bill Schuette, who has designs on being governor, and he will make a name for himself in this town, has already begun to die. What I find interesting, Snyder has a transition team. Bill Schuette and Ruth Johnson have transition teams. I don't remember transition teams being for Secretary of State and Attorney General. It's sort of transition team envy, which is going on in this town. So Schuette will be a player, and he'll be making lots of news.
You know, Tim, you've reported about Rick Snyder. You've gotten some insight into his personality, and you think he is kind of a funny guy.
He does have a good sense of humor. He's coming out of his shell. I did a speech the other night over in Kalamazoo, and this is so much fun because this woman got up and she said, "I went to high school with Rick Snyder." I said, "I need to see you afterwards." And I said, "Was he a nerd in high school?" And she said, "No, he was not a nerd in high school. He just didn't say a lot. He was just sort of there, you know. He was obviously working his behind off to get early degrees and everything, but he was not a nerd. But he's not a gregarious backslapper that many politicians are. Those the true good old boys. He will never be that. I've had somebody, though, on the inside tell me that he's very hard to get next to. So he holds kind of his cards close to his vest. As I wrote in that piece, he's a work in progress. He has come a long ways from that maiden news conference on the Capitol steps. It was just an abysmal performance. I mean, he read this announcement about running for governor, and I said, this guy has two chances, Slim and none, and Slim just left town. But here he is, governor-elect. So he's getting it, and he wants people to trust him. He's not like this governor. I don't think he cares if people like him or not, like she did. But he's a work in progress.
Tim, after talking with former Lieutenant Governor Dick Posthumus, I just got the sense, I got the feeling that he is really going to have a significant impact on how Rick Snyder works and what gets done.
Well, that's an interesting inside story as well. Mr. Posthumus originally came to this proposed job not as a daily gig at all. He sort of thought, you know, senior advisor is somebody who, you know, comes in a couple of days a week, sits down, shoots the breeze, and goes back to play golf. But it turned out that Mr. Snyder asked him to do more hands-on, and he's going to do that, and he will actually be the governor's lobbyist and will show up on the House and Senate floors and try to push things through. He does have that experience, both in the House and in the Senate. He was a candidate for governor himself and, of course, served with John Engler as lieutenant governor. So he has a wealth of background. His major liability, as it is with everybody else now playing this game, you got 65 new members of the House that nobody knows. I think I'm up to 7 now. Last time we talked, I was at 5. I know 7, so I'm slowly beginning to recognize faces. But it's knowing these people. Tony, you know this from your years of experience. You can't do a legislative deal unless you trust the person you're dealing with. And that has to be done in real time. And it's going to take a long time to get there.
I asked Dick Posthumus, why do you want to do this? Because he was laying low and happy.
Yeah.
And he mentioned that when his wife died, he's motivated to serve her and to serve her memory.
Well, that sounds just like Dick Posthumus, and this, frankly, will also help him to fill some of that time as he is still in the grieving process from the loss of his beloved wife, Pam. They went through a lot together with her disease, and she did pass here. And it was there was a tremendous outpouring of people that showed up for that funeral. And that I'm sure that's something you live with forever. This will help him to get back into the game. As he said in the news conference, if you had talked to me a month ago about doing this, I would have said you were crazy. But he, along with others, have this thing in their DNA that you and I don't have, and it's a dominant gene for public service. And he's going to act on that, and he will be a tremendous asset to the new governor-elect.
And when politicians fail, that gene is always dogged, if you will, because people who serve in public service for a lifetime are condemned almost.
They are, and I think that is totally unfortunate, and I think it is wrong, and I know people will criticize that statement, but the reality is the vast majority of people that get into this business do it for the right reasons. For some, it is about ego. For some, it's about money. For some, it is about power, but they are not the majority.
What are you working on for Channel 6 tonight?
That
is a long pause.
Well, it is, because I'm not really sure.
Yeah.
It'll be brilliant, though, whatever. There we go. I feel
Boy, you
better.
Are rebounding.
After I getting zapped in the beginning of the interview, man, you know, I'm competitive.
Who's on Off the Record this weekend?
I got nobody. We're working on trying to get the speaker. We're trying to get the new majority leader, and we may have to move it up to Atanaga to do the show.
Right out in the fields.
I think we'll quit while we're behind here, man.
Talk to you soon.
Tony, hey, it's always a pleasure, man. Go get them.